Well, we're in the final week of our message series called Heal Your Hurting Mind. And I want to talk to you today about a category of mental health that a lot of people don't always talk about. We have a spiritual enemy. We know that. And the spiritual enemy attacks those that are pursuing the heart of God. And our spiritual enemy doesn't just attack you when you're struggling, but he often attacks even harder when you're healing. Many of you've made progress in the last few weeks, and you're starting to grow closer to God and feel a little bit of peace and maybe a little bit of hope. And maybe at some point, when you start to sleep a little bit better, or the anxiety is not as constant, that's when fear often whispers. What if the progress that you've been making doesn't last? What if the problem that you once had comes back? What if you're not really better? What if you're not really healed? And the fear is very, very real. And the Bible speaks directly to it in many different places. And we're going to look at many of those verses today. In fact, Paul said this in Galatians 5:1. He said, "So Christ has truly set us free. By the power of Jesus, the truth is Jesus, and the truth sets us free." Christ sets us free. And then watch what Paul says. He says, "Now make sure that you stay free. Make sure you've been set free. Make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law." Now, the context of this verse, Paul is talking about freedom from the law, but this principle applies to anywhere in any category of life when Christ sets us free. In fact, I want to show you a very direct and very literal translation of this verse. The English Standard Version is probably the most literal. And it says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." For freedom, Christ has set us free. In the Greek, Paul uses the same root word two times for freedom and free. Now, for those of you who are grammatical nerds, that's called a cognate construction. Hope you like that. It's two versions of the same root word. Why? Because freedom wasn't an accident. Freedom was the intention. When you think about it, Jesus came, yes, to forgive your sins, but he didn't just come to forgive your sins. He came to set you free from the burden of the law and the things that hold you hostage, that are less than God's will for your life. So Paul says this. He says, "Christ has set you free, but stand firm. Don't go back to that bondage. Fight to stay free." So freedom is a gift from God, but you have to guard that gift. So today we're not just talking about healing. We're not just talking about getting free. Today, with God's help, we believe he's going to empower us to stay free. So let's get to work today. We're wrapping up the message series, Heal Your Hurting Mind. What I want to do is I want to review really quickly where we've been and build on the foundation as we move forward. In week number one, we learned that we are body, soul, and spirit. We learned the principle that salvation is instant, but healing takes time. You could be saved in a moment by the grace of Jesus, but our mind, our will, and our emotions are renewed over time. week two. We learned that a hurting mind isn't a broken mind. It's healing in progress. That Jesus may touch you once, and he touches you again. That healing is a process. And then in week three, we looked at the truth that Jesus asked you to meet his grace with your faith. Grace initiates and faith participates. Today, we're going to learn from God's word that Christ sets you free. His power sets you free. But it's our responsibility to stay free. How do we know this? Because the enemy often attacks hardest after progress. You'll see it. He'll fight you when you're down, but when you start to come up, he starts to keep you out of God's will and in bondage. In fact, 1 Peter 5:8 tells us very, very directly, be alert and of sober mind. If you're making progress, be alert. Be on guard. Be of sober mind, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So what do in Christ? You resist your enemy. You resist him, standing firm in the faith. How do you fight? You fight with faith for the breakthrough. And after the breakthrough, you continue to stand firm on the truth of God's word. And we're going to talk about two things to be today. We're going to be careful and we're going to be prayerful. So let's start with the first one. And this is practical. And we're going to look at three things to be careful about. We're going to be practical. And we're going to be prayerful, spiritual. So let's first talk about we're called to be careful. 1 Corinthians 10:12 tells us this. If you think you're standing strong, you've made progress, you're getting healthy, you're doing better. If you think you're standing firm, be careful not to fall. Be careful. It's interesting if you look at this. Paul doesn't say if you're feeling weak, be careful. He doesn't say if you're feeling vulnerable, be careful. He says if you think you're standing strong, be on guard. Be careful. Because some would argue that the most dangerous moment spiritually is not when you know that you're vulnerable, but when you think you're not. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. And we're going to talk about three things to be careful about. The first thing is we're going to be careful about your inputs. We're going to be careful about your habits. And we're going to be careful about your relationships. We're going to be careful about your inputs. What gets into you? We're going to be careful about your inputs. What comes out of you? And we're going to be careful about your relationships. Who is it that influences you? Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Let's start with the first one. God's word teaches us the principle to be careful about your inputs. What I would say to you as we're growing healthier in your mental health, you're making progress. God's word is renewing your mind. I want you to think about what comes into your mind. Think about your iPhone, your whatever kind of phone, your non-iPhone, your iPad, your computer. What comes across your feed? The music that you listen to, the shows that you watch, the people that you talk to. I want you to think about your inputs. Why? Because what gets your attention gets into your thoughts. And your thoughts may start small, but they don't stay small. They take root and they start to grow and they start to spread. And the more you think a thought, the easier it is to think that thought, because God created your mind with neural pathways. And if you're thinking on the wrong thoughts, they take you in the wrong direction. That's why God's word says, think on things that are pure and excellent and lovely and admirable. If there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I want you to think about what you're thinking about, because your thoughts shape your mind, and your mind shapes your heart. And your heart shapes your life. And that's why Solomon said this. He said, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Be careful about your inputs, because what fills your mind forms your heart, and what forms your heart determines the course of your life. Don't pass by this. Every single one of you, be open to what the Spirit of God will show you about this. Look at what you look at. Look at what you listen to. And ask yourself, is this helping me become more like Christ? Or is it taking me away? Is it strengthening my mental resolve? Or is it weakening me? Is it building my faith in the truth of God? Or is it creating anxiety and fear? And do I feel left out? And do I feel depressed? Is it helping me get stronger in the things of the Lord and more secure in Christ? Or is it distracting me from the truth that sets me free and keeps me free? Because when you look around today, like some of you right now, you're literally asking God for peace of mind, and you're feeding your mind with things that make you anxious. What you consume every day, you continue to consume, that makes you insecure and empty and anxious and feel less left out. If you feel anything less than what God wants you, change the input. And think about this. Let's just go social media. When did social media go mainstream? 2004. How do I know that? Because I looked it up. Thanks, ChatGPT. It may be right. There's a good chance it is. Okay? Then Instagram launched in 2010. And so social media is normal. Completely normal. Most of you, it's the most normal thing. Just because it's normal doesn't mean it's healthy. And for many of you, social media is a gift. It's like mostly good. You know, you stay in touch with people. You see cat videos. You know who got pregnant. For many of you, it's mostly good. For others of you, it is literally wrecking you. And if you're honest enough to look at it objectively, you would say the experiment has gone on long enough. And for some of you, the results are not healthy. Are there benefits? Yes, of course. If they're mostly benefits, then enjoy it. But if the benefits cost you your mental health, change the input. And not just this, but like literally, if you're scrolling on the news at 11 o'clock at night and having nightmares and can't sleep because you're freaking out all the time, then don't scroll the news at 11 o'clock at night. If you watch shows that lower your own standards and desensitize you to sin and makes bad words just a normal thought pattern in your life, maybe you change what you watch. If you have a conversation with a friend, and every time you walk away, you're less like Jesus, more critical, more angry, more bitter, whatever, maybe you spend a little bit less time with that friend. What I want you to do is be careful with your inputs. If you don't like the outcome, change the input. Be careful, number one, about your inputs. The second thing is be careful about your habits. This is so important because as you're growing in your mental health, your habits will help sustain your mental health. How do you heal? You heal by God's grace and some hard work. And you stay healed by God's grace and by healthy habits. The habits keep you healthy. It was Paul who said in Galatians 6:7, a man reaps what he sows. What you sow over and over again brings the harvest. If you have healthy habits, they bring a healthy harvest. If you have unhealthy habits, they bring an unhealthy harvest. And so what do you do? If there was something that hurt your mental health in the past, create the habits that keep you free in the future. And it could be anything. Like if anxiety rules your mind, well, maybe you create the habit of the first thing you do when you wake up is you open up the Bible and you take in God's Word and you let His Word renew your mind and comfort your soul and guide your steps. You're creating a habit that keeps you healthy. If burnout is crushing you, you're always doing too much, you can't stop work, you might go ahead and look at what God's Word says. You're going to have the habit of a Sabbath, where there is a day where you're not going to work so that you can recover. And you might find that when you live God's way, you're more productive the other 6 days because His Word is true and sets you free. If you find yourself always left out, like I feel like my life sucks and everybody else is amazing and she's been on 17 vacations this year and has new shoes and a boyfriend that likes her and a diamond ring and had lobster last night, and my life sucks. Well, maybe if that's making you feel stupid, then you'll limit yourself to, say, 10 minutes a day on social media or whatever. If you don't like the outcome, the input, if you find yourself constantly struggling, look at your habits. Certain habits will make you struggle more. Certain habits will help you become healthier. Remember, you heal by God's grace and by hard work, and you stay healed by God's grace and healthy habits. Be careful with your inputs, be careful with your habits, and be careful about your relationships. Be careful about your relationships. One day, we'll do a whole message series on the importance of friendships. You are who you run with. You become like those around you. And over and over and over again. And the Bible says it. So let me show you 3 verses. Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise. And what do you become? You become wise. But a companion of fools suffers harm. If you find yourself suffering harm, look at who you're running with. Next verse says this, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. The Bible says this, Proverbs 12:26. The righteous choose their friends carefully. You can love everybody equally and still choose your friends carefully. But the way of the wicked leads them astray. Look at who you're running with. If you're trying to stay mentally healthy, you cannot spend a lot of time around people who make you sick. If someone starts to pull you back, you can still love them, but you redefine the relationship. You don't want to be shaped by them, even though you can still love them. So you watch who you're running with. And this is obvious. If you're a drug addict and you're saying, I'm trying to get free of drugs, if you're a drug addict, and you want to get free of drugs, you don't go crash at your drug dealer's house. That's obvious. But so often when it comes to mental health, it's not that obvious to us. If you want to get more mentally healthy, if you want to stay mentally strong, you gotta recognize that not everyone from your past belongs in your future. You have to be careful about the inputs. Be careful about the habits. And be careful about the relationships. Be careful about your inputs. Be careful about your habits. And be careful about your relationships. If you don't like what's coming out, look at what you're putting in. Be careful about what's shaping your life. Be careful. Be careful. It's practical. And God's word is very practical. And then be prayerful. This is spiritual. This is spiritual. Be prayerful. Prayer is powerful. Prayer touches the heart of God. Prayer moves the heart of God. God responds to faith. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If two or three people gather together on earth and call down on Him and He hears our prayer, if we pray according to His will, He will do what we ask Him to do. Prayer is powerful. And so what I'd like to do is I want to read a big portion of scripture that talks about the spiritual nature of what you're facing. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Do you have anxiety? If you do, that's both physical, it's practical, and it's spiritual. Do you feel depressed? There could be a very real physical component to that. Your hormones may be out of whack. You may be dealing with extremely difficult life challenges that are outside of your control. And there's a spiritual nature. Do you find yourself angry? You may be a victim of something that you have every right to be angry. But you don't want to live in that. In your anger, do not sin. And if there's something practical, it may be even psychological, and it can be very, very spiritual. If you're struggling mentally, emotionally, physically, remember, we are not just a body. We're not just a soul. We are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body, and God cares about every part. And our battle is not against people, and it's not just worldly. It's incredibly spiritual. And I'm going to declare His word over you. And when I do, I'm going to believe that throughout the past 4 weeks that whatever God spoke to you, He's going to bring to the front of your mind. And whatever He brings to the front of your mind, you're going to live out in your life. And that the Holy Spirit's going to show you what He's doing in you and what He wants to do for you and what He wants to do through you. And then go live it out. For freedom, He sets you free. Stay in it. Be free. Be careful not to go back, not to get stuck in it. But for freedom, Christ sets you free. It's practical. It's your diet. It's your sleep. It's your hormones. It's your mindset. It's spiritual. It's His truth. It's His word. It's pushing back against the force of it. It's all of it. And God created all of it. And all of it matters. It matters to Him. And you matter to Him. And you are not here by accident. Because God wants you to do what you can do and trust Him to do what you can't do. So we're going to do what we can do. And we're going to call on Him to do what we can't do. Because our God is always good. Ephesians 6. This shows the spiritual side. And I want you to notice two things. I want you to notice that you're called to stand. You're called to pray. When you stand, that's what you can do. When you pray, you're inviting God to do what He can do. Grace initiates, faith participates. When you stand, you do what you can do. When you pray, you're calling on God to do what He can do. The Bible says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, not in your own power, but in His power. Be strong in the Lord in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." For our struggle is not against the people that make you crazy. It's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you've done everything else to stand, stand firm then with a belt of truth around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray, and pray, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Be on guard. Be alert. Your spiritual enemy roars around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. When you're standing strong, be careful that you do not fall. Be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Before you battle, you pray. After the breakthrough, you pray. When things are going well, you pray. When you think you might slip, you pray. Because prayer isn't preparation for the battle. Prayer is the battle. We battle not against flesh and blood. And what does prayer do? Prayer reminds you, you are never in control. And prayer keeps you close to the only one who is. So be careful and be prayerful. Be careful and be prayerful. because the same God who saved your spirit is sanctifying your soul. Week one, the one who called you, remember, he is faithful and he will do it. How does he do it? Grace initiates and faith participates. Therefore, if you are in Christ, you are not stuck on the porch. By grace, what do? You get up. By faith, you pick up your mat and you walk. Because when Christ heals you and sets you free, Christ is the one who will keep you free. So every moment of every day, be careful, be prayerful, stay dependent on God. And whenever fear whispers to you, what if you slip up? What if you go back? What if you're not really healed? You just tell the devil, the same Jesus who set me free is faithful to keep me free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. What will he do? He will strengthen my mind. He will steady my thoughts. He will heal my anxiety. He will comfort me in sadness. Tell him he will comfort me with his hope, and he will heal my hurting mind. Because who is he? He's the God of peace. And his word says he is faithful to do it.